KOWO Radio 104.1 FM would like to welcome you to Windows into Wimberley. Each week, Erica Clapp is joined by a guest to discuss the things that are happening in and around your town. These conversations are designed to provide the community with insight and information on a wide range of topics that are specific to the Wimberley area. Now it's time to look through the windows into Wimberley.
Welcome to this week's episode of Windows into Wimberley. I'm your host, Erica Clapp. Joining me this week, I have Ray Helm, the Wimberley Constable, which is in Precinct 3. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for joining me today, Ray. I appreciate your time.
No problem.
So before we get started, tell me a little bit about yourself and your role as the Constable.
Me, I've been in law enforcement since 2003. I was a Deputy Constable in San Marcos for about 5 years, and then I'm originally from Wimberley since 1973, and Daryl Ayers, the former constable, he offered me a job here in 2007, and so I came here, and I've been here ever since. He retired, and I ran for his position in 2016 and won that term, and now I'm up again here in 2020.
So can you explain to me the difference between a sheriff and a constable? I know Wimberley doesn't have a police department, so kind of mm-hmm. What's the difference, then? What is your office's role?
The sheriff here is a countywide elected official on precinct level of elected official. Precinct 3 stretches from San Marcos, parts of San Marcos, Brown and Baptist Academy area, to the Comal and Blanco County lines out towards Ripon Springs. Sheriff, his main job is to maintain and operate the jail, dispatch, and he does have patrol and CID functions. Here, we also serve, we have the same authority. We serve the Justice of the Peace Court here in Wimberley, Judge Andrew Cable, and then we also serve county and district courts and any out-of-town courts that send us paperwork. We also have interlocal agreements with the City of Wood Creek and City of Wimberley to act as their police department here for their ordinance issues. We can arrest, we can write traffic tickets, we can do anything a regular police officer does.
Do you find it often that you and the sheriff work together, or you and these other, maybe you mentioned towards San Marcos, that you guys work together?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. We work very closely with the sheriff's office and stuff, and if it involves, you know, a high felony crime that involves the criminal investigation division or lots of investigation, we will let the sheriff's office handle that part of it. We handle a lot of smaller stuff for them, like traffic issues, and kind of let them handle all the bigger stuff that goes on, and then we handle all the small stuff where they can concentrate on that kind of stuff. The traffic flow here in town during the school year, we try to keep that moving and have taken on that role and responsibility, so they don't have to, and it helps out because if they're trying to handle calls and handle traffic, it'd just be easier if we separate those two, and it's worked out very nice since then. We work with other agencies, San Marcos Police Department, Kyle, state agencies, DPS, FBI, U.S. Marshals have been here in here a time or two, help them track down some fugitives. So, yeah, we work pretty much with everybody.
Oh, wow, that's really interesting. I have grown up a huge fan of things like true crime and mm-hmm. live PD, and that's actually something I do want to ask you about.
Well, if you look at traditional old law enforcement, the constables in the state of Texas are very similar, or kind of do the same jobs on state level as U.S. Marshal does. They handle the court systems and civil process and track down fugitives. I mean, that's what the U.S. Marshal does. We do very similar, almost the same thing here on the state level. And then, like, the sheriff's office, there's your investigation unit, like your FBI. They handle all the investigation parts of it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Going to backtrack a little bit. You mentioned that during the school year, you guys handle a lot of that traffic flow.
Absolutely.
One of the issues that you and I discussed before we went on air was school buses.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say that's one of the bigger traffic issues that you guys are facing?
It's not probably, I mean, yeah, it's one of the bigger ones, probably the most dangerous one, because we've got kids, you know, on those school buses and people not paying attention. So I would rank that up as a very serious potential problem for danger to those kids. We have noticed an increase in people running a school bus while their lights are on, unloading and loading kids in the last couple of years, and it keeps getting worse. So I don't know what we got to do to correct that, but I've tried everything I can to go to media like today, or the radio shows, news. We've had a lady from the news station came down and rode with us live. And, I mean, within 2 minutes, we had one passing a school bus. We use newspaper, Facebook, social media to let kind of educate people about school buses. It hasn't slowed down any. It's constantly busy.
That's crazy to me. You did mention when we were talking earlier one thing that I was not aware of, and I'm sure I learned it at some point, mm-hmm. but I forgot, or I probably just forgot, is that when you do see a school bus and the lights are flashing but the stop sign is not out, that doesn't mean don't stop.
Right. The stop sign is just an added option. It's not in the traffic code. The red and yellow lights on the school bus, yellow is for you to yield, or the lights are about to come on, so be ready. But the red flashing lights on the school bus is the indicator to tell you to stop. Some of them have stop signs. Some of them have these big arms that swing out into traffic. Those are just added safety measures, but those are not listed in a traffic code for that. And so the red lights are your indicator to stop for sure.
If someone is to get pulled over for this, what tell me a little bit about what they might be facing in terms of tickets and violations and things like that.
Well, I mean, it's an automatic ticket. I mean, unless it's just some kind of... I don't know if there's an emergency big enough to constitute to run a school bus. I mean, if somebody's in grave danger or dying, they should have called 911 anyway. But to run a school bus and put those kids' lives at jeopardy and any other people is... It's just, there's no excuses. The citation's going to be written, and the cameras in our patrol cars, we've had a lot of people try to contest it, but our cameras that we have are on a DVR system where they roll back 30 seconds before they record.
Okay.
So we catch the entire stop from beginning to end, 30 seconds back and 30 seconds afterwards, and it's a pretty good deal for the officers in court to be able to justify their stop on the vehicles. So it's kind of hard to get away with it with that type of camera system. The fines on these things are, first fine, I believe, is $562.10. So that's a lot of money to part with. And mm-hmm. then the second time, or a second conviction of one, it doubles. And so, I mean, you're talking very, very expensive fines. I can't afford $562. That'd buy me something really nice for my boat, you know.
So you've mentioned some of the things that you guys have done. You know, you've done social media, you've done mm-hmm. media, obviously, and you're still not seeing any...
We don't see it. We see a reduction in the first couple weeks that we announce something, but it goes right back to where it was, if not worse, and every school year gets worse. And it's a hard thing for me to understand is how you cannot see a big yellow school bus with flashing red lights. I mean, they see police cars and ambulances, but I've also noticed, too, that if we're patrolling these school buses and riding behind them, I've actually seen people look and try to go around one until they see a cop car. So that tells me their intent is there to go around it if the police cars are not present. I mean, they've made up their mind. So I don't know if that's – I don't get it. I don't understand it. It's not just a generational factor. It's everybody's doing it, from 80 years old to 16 years old. So it's just an impatient thing to me. I mean, I've never been in that kind of hurry in my life. You know, I know school buses drive slow. I get it. But that's just the dice you roll that day if you get behind one. That's just how it is. But I've noticed a lot of our school bus drivers, too, if they have a pile of traffic behind them, they'll pull over or they'll turn their lights off and let traffic go around them just so they're not, you know, hanging behind them the whole time they're making their stops, because that can get kind of annoying. But he still doesn't give you the right to run around a school bus.
I mentioned it a little bit ago, but I did kind of want to ask you. I have been completely fascinated with the live PD phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that shows like that are impacting people's opinions on law enforcement, whether it's good or bad?
I think so, too. I don't watch a lot of those shows because sometimes I get frustrated with it. And I'm mm-hmm. like, don't do that, you know? And so I just have to turn the channel. It's hard for me to watch it as, like, doing a job, and I'm sure like some, even like say nurses, or you know, they may watch you know, Grey's Anatomy or ER or something, get frustrated with somebody doing something in there. I mean, it's the same thing for me watching cop shows. I don't even watch them anymore, because I see one of them, I'm like, God, look at that rookie, he's about to do something stupid, you know, don't do that, you know, you need to do this first. So it's hard for me to watch those kind of shows. Every now and then I'll catch them, but you know, most of the people I've ever seen that watches those in society is they love cop stuff. They love it. And so they watch it to just, you know, But a lot of the people that are anti-law enforcement, they're not going to watch that stuff.
Right.
You know, I don't know if it gives them flashbacks or what, or if they had a bad experience with law enforcement. I get it. This is a profession, and there's always a bad apple in every profession. It's just cops, nurses, teachers, firefighters, public service folks are so watched under a microscope. If they make any little bad mistake, it's thrown out into the public, and then you have the, the Facebook jury comes out mm-hmm. and will convict them. You know, I mean, we're a country of laws and a state of laws. We are not guilty until proven innocent. And what I've noticed the last 10 years in society since social media, these folks are automatically guilty. As soon as they're arrested, they're guilty. They did it, and then they're not guilty. There was enough probable cause to charge them with a crime. You know, they have the right to the court system just like anybody does. So that drives me crazy too. I mean, we've picked some people up, and we as police officers have known they've done the crime. They've admitted to us they did the crime. So we do a probable cause affidavit. We have a judge sign it. We take them to jail. We book them for it. But they still have that right in due process to get through that court system and help them. I mean, a lot of the folks, they will evade the court system, and in this, they'll get warrants for the original crime two or three times before the court system gets tired of messing with them, and then they just let them sit it out. When all that could have been avoided if they would have just came to court. Yeah, I don't watch too many cop shows. Drive me crazy.
Okay, well, I think that's all the questions that I have for you today. Is there anything else that you would like to address?
Please don't pass the school buses. And remember, school starts August 15th this year.
Okay.
So the buses will be out. Parents will be out. We always have the new parents come out. They either just moved here to bring their kids to the school system. Secondly, their kids just got old enough to go to school. You got young parents that have a six-year-old that's time to go to school. So we have a lot of that too. We have a lot of babies that grew up and ready to go to school. So.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Ray. I really appreciate it. I hope you enjoy the rest of your summer.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Windows into Wimberley. As always, we're here to discuss the things that are happening in and around your town. If there's something happening you'd like to know more about, or if you have topics or suggestions for the show, please contact KOWO General Manager Ryan Hsu at 512-965-9969. Join Erica Clapp on KOWO 104.1 FM next time for another look inside the Windows into Wimberley.